Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. This week will mark the 70th anniversary of one of the most important dates in U.S. military history, D-Day, the 6th of June. That was the day Allied forces invaded Normandy, gaining the foothold in France that ultimately led to the defeat of Nazi Germany and an end to the war in Europe. The battle on D-Day was especially bloody, wholly chaotic, and characterized by heroism on the unit and the individual level. We'll look at D-Day from two perspectives today. First, from a filmmaker with a film currently showing at the Science Center. A little later, we'll talk with a historian whose latest book chronicles that day and the role played by the 1st Infantry Division, the Big Red One. But first, French filmmaker Pascal Wang wrote and directed D-Day Normandy 1944, a film rich in content and computer-generated graphics. I spoke with Wang recently and asked what drew him to the subject.
When I was a kid, I've seen on the TV The Longest Day from Daryl Zanuck, and it was so amazing, so incredible that this story stayed in my mind for years.
The Longest Day. It was, you know, what can you bring to this story that The Longest Day did not?
Oh, you know, The Longest Day was so... it was a great movie with actors, with many... it was the first film devoted to D-Day, but I think now, first of all, the D-Day in IMAX is a documentary, so I have to be more accurate in terms of history, and of course, in such a film like Saving Private Ryan or The Longest Day, because it's feature films, you cannot be exhaustive. If I can say so, in my film, I can use maps, many maps, archives, many techniques in order to tell this story in a new way.
Well, you're using computer graphics and you're using 3D, which certainly is different from the other films. You mentioned Saving Private Ryan. I was going to bring that up. It's going to be hard to beat the first few minutes of that film.
Sure, and that's why I had to find my own way to tell the story. It's could say it's complementary compared to The Longest Day or Saving Private Ryan.
Well, let's talk about the techniques you use a little bit and the difficulty... the process would be to put together something in 3D and also using the computer graphic techniques.
Yeah, I thought that because there were so many people involved in the event, I had to mix many techniques in order to show the how many talented persons were involved in this event, so that's why I mixed many techniques, many types of pictures, animation, reenactment, so many things.
It's a stunning outcome. I mean, the video is just absolutely stunning.
I think it's the event itself, which is stunning.
Yeah.
And so the big screen, the Omnimax screen, is the best screen I can dream of to tell this story.
And we should just advise our audience, this will be running through November at the Science Center, I believe, November 20th. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, at least until the Veterans Day, but maybe more.
Right. Where do you pick up the story in the film?
I started to work on that project 3 years ago. It was in 2011. I was here in St. Louis for my first IMAX film, which was called C-Rex, devoted to Mesozoic marine reptiles. And so it was 3 years ago, and I had first to learn a lot because, you know, 43 minutes is very short. It's a short time to tell all the stories. So I had to learn and then to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very difficult to choose.
To make it smaller when it was so big.
Yeah, but I had to do it smaller, but I didn't want to forget some people like the civilians or the Canadians or some people who were involved in the D-Day. So it was hard to choose and to shorten
to edit it to,
yes.
That particular length. But does your film begin with the invasion itself or the preliminaries to the invasion?
The preliminaries, yes, because usually I think there's a lack of explanations about why it was important to land. Why Normandy? Why at that moment? So I think my duty was to explain all of this, the context, the preparation itself, and then the D-Day and the Battle of Normandy.
A lot of the planning, did you address a lot of the planning of the invasion?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Because, you know, that perhaps that's the most interesting part of the operation.
A couple of things come to mind with regard to that. Number one is the mission of the Allies to deceive the Germans, to make the Germans think the invasion was going to come someplace else.
Yeah, sure. Because, because now it's done. So many people can consider it was easy or it was normal to succeed, but it was not. It's unbelievable that the Allied succeed to keep the secret until the day before the D-Day.
Because they had to move a lot of men and equipment
yes.
before this operation.
So they used a lot of techniques, and it was called Operation Fortitude. I spent some minutes to explain Operation Fortitude and the context.
Well, you say Operation Fortitude. A lot of people will remember that the code name for the operation was Overlord. What's the difference between Fortitude and Overlord?
For many people, Overlord is linked to D-Day, but Overlord was the code name of the whole operation, including the Operation Neptune, to bring the troops on the Normandy beaches. There were many operations in Operation Overlord. In its preparation and its the way that is
the carried it out this
yeah yeah
the strategy of yeah, carrying yeah, the strategy of carrying it out. Well, I remember a story, and perhaps you deal with this in the film, with regard to the feeling of the Allies that the secret was out because of a crossword puzzle. And I think the Sunday Times in London. Do you deal with that in your film?
Yeah, more or less. But you know, I still cannot believe that, but Hitler, until July, Hitler thought that Normandy landings were just a diversion. Mm. It was not the right, the actual landing, but it was just a deception operation.
Right, and so it took him more than a month to realize that was
yeah.
a real thing. They thought, I think the Germans thought initially, that it was probably going to take place at Calais.
Yeah, and Operation Fortitude was intended to convince Germans that it would be in Calais.
So they would move their equipment to defend
And there remained many troops around Calais.
Yeah. Let's go back to bringing all these men and the materiel into England. We have a clip, and Tom Brokaw is narrating your film.
Oh, yeah.
I should have certainly mentioned that. But here is all of this stuff coming into England. Get ready for this so important invasion. And, let's let Tom Brokaw tell this part of the story.
Since entering the war, the United States had developed its military effort with an enormous industrial capacity. The Allies had won the Battle of the Atlantic, and now even England's numerous ports were not enough to accommodate all of the arriving ships. For the military forces of 12 different nations, the whole of England became a gigantic training camp. While the largest military gathering in history prepared to invade Europe, the Allied commanders kept the date and the place of the landings a secret until the eve of D-Day.
It's hard to imagine all of that going on and the word not getting out.
Listening to Tom, I was remembering how great it was to work with him. And we heard the music as well, and it was... two unforgettable days in London, recording with the famous London Symphony Orchestra. It was It was unbelievable.
How did you line all this up? I mean, Tom Brokaw is synonymous with the greatest generation about which this is all about.
Oh, I'm so lucky, you know. Yeah. Thanks to my special advisor, my historic advisor, which is a retired colonel from the Army, U.S. Army. It's called Peter Hurley. I knew that Tom Brokaw was interested in the project and came to my mind it would be great if he would accept to be the narrator. And then we managed to show him the 10 first minutes of the film. And just after, he said, okay, yes, I will do that.
And the London Symphony?
Oh, that's another story. You know, the composer works a lot to find the right theme for that film. Because, you know, Steven Spielberg and some other famous directors had fantastic music in their films. So I had to have mine. And the day we finally found the theme, we shared the same dream. And this dream was to record the music with the London Symphony Orchestra.
What did you learn about D-Day and the whole operation that you didn't know before? Because obviously you're a student of this time.
When I was a kid, I started to be interested in this topic. But you know, because I am a Frenchman, and as a European, I grew up with that story in my mind and in my family. They told many stories about the occupation, the Germans in France, etc. So it's very important to me to know about this. Three years ago, I felt capable to make my own movie.
Is there anything in your movie that you tell that has not been told before?
I think so. Yes, I discovered so many things that I don't think that many people know about the D-Day and the Battle of Normandy. You know, many people think that the Operation Overlord stopped on the beaches, but it lasted for almost 3 months after the D-Day. After D-Day, it was very hard to win.
How far do you take it? Do you take it for the full 3 months in your film?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Until the liberation of Paris and until the end of war. Because, you know, to me, the importance of the D-Day is it was there in Normandy that the current world was born.
Mm-hmm. You're a French countryman. Tell me something about their reaction to what was going on from the time of the invasion through the following weeks.
This is a big discovery to me. When I started to work on that script, I went many times to Normandy, and I discovered how strong is the gratefulness.
Mm-hmm. Gratitude,
is it right?
Yeah.
Of Norman people, mm-hmm, towards their liberators, how they keep the memory alive, not only for commemorations but every day, every year, and you know, and today Normandy is very beautiful, and it's very hard to imagine that 70 years ago it was hell on earth. Mm-hmm. So that's a big discovery. Mm-hmm. Normans are very grateful to their liberators, and we should, as French, as European, and even as Americans, we have to be grateful and pay tribute to those who gave everything for our freedom.
And, of course, many of them are still there at the cemetery.
It's very so moving to see all these graves. You know, in Colville, there are 9,000 graves here. And those, they were young. They were so young. You know, on average, they were 23. So they were so young, and they had to do something else than liberate Europe. But they did it.
Yeah. You know, you think of all those people who died there, and maybe what died along with them was a cure for cancer or some discovery that would make life better for everybody. You just never know with all that blood.
But we can consider that maybe because they did that, perhaps they saved some other people who did that.
Who went on to do other things.
Yeah.
That is very, very true. You said earlier, before we went on the air, that you wanted to be sure that the other countries involved in this, there were a dozen countries involved in the invasion, you wanted to be sure that people understood the role that they played. How is that portrayed in your movie?
Oh, of course, the main power came from the United States, Canada, and Great Britain. But thanks to the French resistance, thanks to many Europeans, free Europeans, I think they were something else as a spirit to reach the victory. For example, the Polish was very important at the end of the Battle of Normandy. Mm-hmm. And you know, today, I think we have to remind this, that Allied forces can do much more than tyranny and...
They have the ability, working together,
to
defeat those things that are evil and tyrannical. Is that correct?
Especially those days. Correct. We have to remind this.
You mentioned the French resistance, and that's something about which your countrymen also have to be very proud. They did a heck of a job before Normandy and after.
Sure. But of course, they were resistance, and they made a tremendous job. But so many civilians who were not resistance, but... They helped. They helped a lot.
I think the expression we would use in this country is they stepped to the plate, to use a baseball analogy.
And some other people I don't want to forget is women. For example, the mothers, the sisters, wives, the workers, because the war effort was tremendous, was huge in the United States and Canada. And so everyone... young or older joined forces to win.
Many people have seen your film by the time this interview was aired, and many more have yet to see it. What about the film? What is it about the film about which you are most proud?
I think it can be a start point for kids to consider that peace is not forever, and perhaps we have to fight to protect peace and liberty. Perhaps it's better to fight before war than during war.
Filmmaker Pascal Vuong said after our interview that he considered his film a gift from France in gratitude for the liberation. D-Day Normandy 1944 is showing through November 20th at the St. Louis Science Center. Coming up, the Big Red One and the role it played on Omaha Beach 70 years ago. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU.